All right, well, let's dive in to our study tonight. Are you ready? Now, you're not going to get any notes tonight. Okay? Some of you got spoiled. You get the notes in your hand. Right? We provided the notes tonight. You're not going to get the notes. So what does that mean? Okay? Let me introduce this to you. This is a new device of technology. It's a pen. This one actually has four colors. Okay? You can use black for the, you know, more straight up points. Red for the exciting, you know, you get the point. Like Robert. And this is another thing too. Piece of paper. So get your notebook, your piece of paper out, and let's take notes because this is really important stuff. We're beginning tonight a series that's going to help. We talked about we're going to be rolling out our marriage principles, correct? But before we do that, we need to talk about faith partnerships. Okay, faith partnerships is what's going to empower us to help each other out, to connect us as brothers and sisters, so that we can hold each other accountable, we can encourage each other, we can help each other grow. And we're going to basically change our culture in the church. Prior to this point, we've had more of a hierarchical relationship where you have a discipler. Who can define for some of us what a discipler is? Anybody that's got some history in the church, what is a discipler? Lani, tell us. She's got a lot of history. Tell us what a discipler is.
Someone tells you what you're doing wrong.
Someone tells you what you're doing wrong. Ah. Got some feelings coming up. Okay. Yes? Your disciples there for you when you need them the most. Now see, that was a balance, Lani. Okay, both. That's true. Both. Yes. Ruth? No? Esther, sorry. Someone to practice the one another scriptures with? Sorry, Steve. Okay. Yeah, you're jumping into the class already. A discipler. What was a discipler? Yes. Yes. As iron sharpens iron, one brother sharpens another. Yeah. Okay, one more. Margie. Yes, from our history. Yeah. It was like a mentor in the faith. Okay? And that's the way a lot of our relationships were set up. Okay? And it was all with a very, very good purpose in mind. And a good spirit. And thanks to that mentor spirit and relationship, I am who I am today. Because since the day I was baptized, I have always had a mentor in my life. Still do. And I got some help late last night from my mentor. I have a couple of mentors. And, you know, you're just not going to grow as much as God has planned for you unless you empower your life with the tools. And that's what we're going to roll out tonight, is another tool. Now, some of us have practiced faith partnerships without it being formalized, because we have friends in the church. But what we're going to do is we're going to formalize faith partnerships in our fellowship, in our church. And the purpose of this is so that we can practice one of Jesus' most important commands. Okay, so tonight we're going to begin a step of changing our culture. And it particularly focuses in on our faith groups, or as what we've called them in the past, our family groups, or Bible talks, the small cell groups. Okay, it's very important in those small groups that you develop relationships with people in that group so you can grow. Okay, so let's begin. Faith partnerships, our study tonight. The scripture is up on the screen, Mark chapter 12, verse 29. This is Jesus was posed with the question of all the commandments. Now, how many were there at this time? Anybody have an idea how many commandments the Jews were rolling with at this time? I'm sorry? More than 630 laws and commandments. If you narrow that down, there was the Ten Commandments. But for the Jews, at this time when Jesus was preaching and teaching, they had a lot of rules and commandments. And there were so many. And they said, okay, Jesus. And this was they did this to test Him. To try to catch Him in a mistake. Because they believed all of them were important. But they nailed Him. They said, what is the most important commandment of all of them? And look what He says. The most important one answered Jesus is this. Hear, O Lord. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second one is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Christianity is summed up in one word. What is that word? Love. Two relationships that we need to make sure we are in a relationship of love with. God and who else? One another. One another. The people around us. And, you know, you can sum up Christianity. If you are truly a Christian, then your faith, because we've talked a lot about faith, but how do you know faith is real? How do you see it? In action, right? But what is the action word of faith?
Love.
Love. Faith demonstrates itself through love. That's our theme this year. It'll be the theme till the day we die. If you have faith, if you believe in God, if you're visiting here with us tonight and you have faith in God, you believe in Jesus, I pose the question, is it evident in your life? Do you have people around you that you can say they love you and you love them? That's why church is so important. A fellowship of believers. People that say, well, no, I can love God and be right with Him at home. I don't need a church. You know, that's just not biblical. Okay? And also, outside of the church, your neighbor doesn't necessarily mean somebody in this room who's in the faith. It can be somebody in the community. God wants us to love these people. So, it begins there. And then we step on down to the next scripture here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. These were the last words of Jesus. And we hit these verses a lot because they were Jesus' last words. And they're very important. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus wanted the apostles. He's with the apostles right here, and he's given them his last will and testament. His last request before he ascends to heaven. What's he asking them to do? What I've done with you, you 11 guys, do that with other people. Replicate what you've received from me in these last 3 years or so. Go out and do it with other people. Make disciples. But sometimes we skip this. A Christian is a disciple. What is a disciple? He is a student. He's somebody that's learning. He's somebody that wants to learn. He's a sponge. And I believe some of us have fallen into a trap of this, you know, 21st century Christianity that I'm saved, I'm a Christian, and I just go to church. And you stop learning. You stop growing. You stop being a student of God, His Word, and of the plan that He has for you. And that's what tonight we're going to begin. How can I grow in my faith? How can I continue to learn? And we're going to learn a lot about being a disciple tonight. But, you know, sometimes discipleship doesn't take because we don't understand it. So we're going to watch a little clip. This is for our young people. They're coming out with the new and updated version. How many remember the Karate Kid? Okay, that's old school. But it's about to be new school. Get ready, it's coming out. Let's watch it. Gotta listen, gotta listen.
Oh, thanks a lot. Ready? Yeah, I guess so. And the time must talk. Walk on the road. Walk right side. Walk left side. Walk middle. Sooner or later, get the squish, just like grip. Here, karate, same thing. Either you karate do get, or karate do not. You karate do get so.
Okay.
Let's go back. Yeah,
could do that again. Couldn't hear it?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's not Sunday dealing with. Okay, ready? Some of us came into the church just like that young man. Yeah, I think so. And he says, I think so won't work. You're either going to do this all the way, or you're not going to do this all the way. Okay? Christianity is the same way. You're either going to do this all the way, or you're not going to do it at all. And he also asked them to make a sacred pact. And we're going to learn about this on Sunday. And in the coming weeks about what is a covenant. And it's in marriage, but it also exists when we decide to make Jesus Lord of our lives. It's not a little thing. It's a big deal. And see, when you make this sacred pact with God, you need all the different tools in order to make it work. And as you could tell, there's a lot of minutia in learning karate. You know, he washed probably 10 or 15 cars in that lot. Doesn't show it on the video, but it was exhaustive work. Then he comes back the next day, sands the whole backyard. Next day, paints the whole thing. So he gets an attitude. You're not teaching me karate. You're putting me to work in your yard. And then he goes through a few moves with him, and the same moves that he was using, he uses for karate, and then it comes together. The point here is Christianity is a lot of the same. Sometimes God's going to ask us to do things that we may not understand right now. But come later in our lives, we're going to go, oh, now I get it. I understand why I had to go through this struggling situation in order to get to the next level. And now I can help somebody else. Because I was in that situation, now I can defend myself, I can defend my faith, and I can help others grow. Understand? Sí, Danielson. All right, well, let's begin our lesson. Concepts to call us higher. Okay, we are a faith-centered or faith-based church of disciples who are devoted and united in the Spirit of Christ. And, you know, we used to say the word commitment. Well, we've changed that. We're not using commitment anymore. We're using devotion. Because anybody can be committed. What is the difference between devotion and commitment if you remember the lessons that we had back in February? What's the difference between devotion and commitment? Yes, you raised your hand back there. She was putting on her sweater. Yeah. Yes, Esther. Exactly. Exactly. Understand. Commitment is a cold, you know, like you're going to do it. Devotion means you're doing it with your heart. I'm doing this because I care. And there's a huge difference. In the military, they demand commitment. In the church, we demand devotion. God demands devotion. Meaning, it's much more important to do things from the heart than it is just to do it. Okay, and we have to make sure that we are devoted and united in the Spirit of Christ. Now we're going to look at a spectrum of learning. Okay, we're all disciples, right? If you're visiting here, we're going to teach you in the future, if you decide to study the Bible, what is a disciple? It's a student. But we're all learning. There's different ways to have different spectrums of learning. Okay, and there's different means and relationships that can help us mature in our faith. Okay, mass education. What's an example of mass education? We're right in it. Okay, it's like a classroom. A lot of people, and you get taught something. Not a super effective way at learning things. You know, a lot of us don't learn, and it's very discouraging for me as a minister sometimes because I've been given statistics that, you know, if I teach something in 3 days, people are only going to remember 10%, maybe. Now, the reason why we use media and videos and things like that, it raises that retention. It's not cool, like, oh, he thinks he's cool because he's using videos. No, I'm trying to do this purposefully to help you remember. I'm not trying to be cool. I'm trying to help you retain something that will change your salvation. Okay, you get that? Music, all kinds of things. It's not about cool. All right? It's helping you. It helps me. I get more when I see visual things. Okay, but still mass learning. Mentoring. That's what you saw with Daniel and his sensei, the teacher, because it was one-on-one. Okay, and he was teaching him by waxing and washing the cars and all that kind of thing. And then mutual. This is a whole different thing, a way of learning. What is mutual? Help me understand that. Can somebody define a mutual relationship? Robert. Okay, you're both in the same level, right? And you're in the same point and you're learning together. You're helping each other learn. It's a mutual relationship that you're sharing together. Mass education, we get that in media, on television, that's another form. Books is also a form of mass education. Teaching like we're doing tonight, preaching. Okay, and then mentoring and discipling. And mutual falls in the category of partnerships. And that's what we're going to roll out tonight, is make sure that everybody in your small group has a partner, a faith partner. Okay, and we're going to be developing this. They're not going to get it in a few classes. It's going to be something that we're going to learn over time. Mentoring is different relationships. Means one's a teacher, one's a student. Okay, they're different. They're in different planes of understanding and maturity. Okay, in a mutual partnership, you've got two different roles, but they're at the same level. Okay? And then under that category, something that we're familiar with is parents. Parents are mentors. Okay? That they are parents of children. Siblings or brothers and sisters. Whether you know it or not, brothers and sisters, what do? They're partners. They help each other learn, but in a partnership. Okay, when you were a child, you know, you learned a lot of stuff from your parents, but who else did you learn it from? Why do you think your mom was so, you know, emphasizing to tell your big brother, your big sister, you better set a good example for your little brother? Why? Because he's teaching him. That's a fact. You're going to learn from your siblings, good and bad. It's a fact. Leadership. That would be considered a mentoring relationship. Friendship is a partnership. It's somebody you're friends with, but you can also learn from a friend. It's another avenue, another way to learn in these friendships. And when you have the mentoring relationship, you become very dependent upon that person to get advice, okay, and to get help. It's very dependent. It's one way a lot of times. But in a mutual relationship, it's interdependent. There's a certain amount of independence, but it's also, I depend on you, you depend on me, and we depend on each other. Interdependence. We build both in the church. In the past, what have we emphasized in our church? Mentoring. Okay, everybody got a mentor for the most part. Alright? But we neglected a very important role of teaching and formalizing these relationships of partners. Okay, and that's what we're beginning now, is these partnerships. Making sure that everybody has a faith partner. And this is very important for the teens. Okay, you guys need faith partners among yourselves. That means you're in the same situation. And what you can do to help each other grow. Right? Not bring each other down, but build each other up. Discipling. We know about discipling, those of us who've been in the faith for a while. Okay? But what about partnership? How much do we know about partnership? And that's what we're going to be devoting time to in the coming weeks. How to build great partnerships. Okay? Give me some great examples of partnerships in the world, in the superhero category. Who are great partners? Batman and Robin. Man, the dynamic duo. Right? They helped each other out. What was Batman without Robin? This is Batman. Right? But when they put the two of them together, it was a dynamic duo. Right? They could do amazing things. Right? Big question. Big question here. Who are my two? They got a commercial out. With one of the cell phone carriers. Right? Who are my five? Okay? Question here is, who are my two? And I want you to write them down. Who are your two? Okay? If you don't have them, you need to work on getting them. Okay? Meaning, who's your mentor? Who's helping you? Teaching you? And who is your faith partner? Write them down. Need a pen? Write them down. Gotta help these teens, you know, they just... Right? Are you got them down?
Yeah.
Erika? Você tem? Escreve! Okay? If you don't have those two, that's what we're going to work on. And we need to formalize it. Discipling and partnership. It is an emphasis. Alright, let's do a little Bible trivia. Okay, Bible test. Give me some scriptures in the Bible. Raise your hand, please. Where the Bible describes the relationship between the leader and his follower. Specific instruction in the scripture, in the Bible, where a leader is... The Bible is giving instruction to how a student is to treat his leader and a leader is supposed to treat his student. Can you give me some examples? John? Hebrews 13:7 and 17, right? Those are the only two, right? Any others? Huh? Hebrews 13:17 and 7. There's two of them in that chapter. Those are only two scriptures. Yeah. Okay, there's a lot in the... We're talking... I'm sorry, I didn't quantify it. New Testament. There's just a handful. Yes, Lev. Right. That's a good example. All right, now how many scriptures are in this in the New Testament that relate to one another? Verses. Hundreds. What's the emphasis in the New Testament? One another relationships or vertical relationships? Emphasis is on one another relationships by the hundreds. And that's what we need to emphasize in the church. How are your horizontal relationships with people in the fellowship? Are you strong in that area? Or are you following our culture in the 21st century of being very independent? I lived in a city, one of the largest cities. I lived in two of the largest cities of the world. São Paulo, Brazil, 21 million people. You'd think, man, how can you not have friends in a city this large? So many lonely people in a packed city. Mexico City, same, 21 million people. People living on top of each other. You take the public transportation, it's packed. You're wall-to-wall people everywhere you go. Traffic. You think we got bad traffic here? It's nothing. People are lonely because they don't understand what the Bible teaches about one another relationships. And we can bring that culture into the church and be very independent. Who are your two? Okay, we're going to look at some verses here. Devotion is emphasized in our relationships with one another as partners and not in our hierarchy of relationships. They're there, but they're not emphasized. They're not as important in Christianity. And that's why we need to emphasize our relationships with one another. How are you doing in that category? And we need to build those relationships in our faith group. Ephesians 4:2, chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Now, make every effort. What does that mean? Is it going to be easy? Mm-mm. Partnerships are not easy. It's hard work to build a partnership because sometimes people can rub you the wrong way. We may be friends today, but, you know, Alvin, if you cross me, we may have some trouble. Like earlier this evening, he called me this young buck, this young man. Now, I took it as a compliment. I liked it. But if I, you know, took it the other way, it could have created a strain in our relationship. Okay? But we got to break through stuff like that and work through it and stay united and be united in brotherly love. And that's very, very important. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "Love must be sincere." This word sincere, you know what it means in Spanish? Sincera means without wax. Sincera means without wax. The point of this verse is when they would sell statues in the old days, they still do it sometimes today. These priceless statues, you know what they do with it? There's cracks, there's fractures, and they fill them with wax. And the wax makes it look perfect. But it's got some fractures in it. The point, they used to do this in the old days, If you really wanted something of worth, it couldn't have wax in it. Meaning it would be pure and no fractures. Okay? Sin sera, without wax. Okay? And no fakeness, no cracks in it. Sometimes love is fake. Like a fake art of work. It's not real, it's fake. And we got to work at having real relationships in our fellowship. Okay? In verse 10 it says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Verse 10 it says, be devoted to one another. Not committed to one another. It says, be devoted to one another. In brotherly love, honor one another above who? Man, that's a tall order right there. Who do we look out for most of all? You might as well confess it. Okay? Somebody says, no, I look out for other people. Yeah. But you also look out for yourself. It's our tendency. It's what we've been trained at. And we have to be untrained to put other people. And the greatest people that we can do that with is who? Our partners. Our faith partners. Looking out for each other instead of looking out for number one. Devotion is emphasized in our relationships with one another as partners, not in our hierarchical relationships. The Bible's not calling you to be devoted to me as your minister. It's calling you devoted to one another. Okay? And that's very, very important in our church. Love and unity are built through partnerships, not just through hierarchy. Okay? And it was a need, and it's something we're going to be implementing, and I'm excited about it. I hope you are excited about it. Love is our obligation, not just a need. For some of us who've had history in the church a while, you remember there was a time a few years back where the hierarchical structure, the D-trees broke down and people got disconnected. And then there was people that didn't have like a mentor. They got out there and they were on their own. And they learned how to survive. And then when we tried to implement some more structure a few years later, we got somebody, no, I don't need a mentor. I'm okay. I have survived. You don't need to disciple me. I'm okay. And people got out there. But they neglected one of the most important relationships in Christianity. Their one another relationships. And I believe even today there is a need for this, that some of us are very far out there. We're not connected. It's just like in the world. We have a lot of people that we are consider acquaintances. But can you consider them your brother? Can you consider them your sister? That Elva said, they'll be there for you when you most need them. Do you have those kind of people? And if you're not investing in it, guess what? You won't have them. Okay? And we need to invest in that. It's our obligation. And here's a verse, Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding. This could be used also to don't lend money in the church. Right? I've taught that. It's not a good thing to borrow money and lend money in the church. Because why? Because it can leave a bad faith, a bad taste. But there is debt in the church. Not money. Don't have debts in the church. But a debt of what? A love. Accept the continuing debt of love with who? Can you read that? Too small, I got to get the font a little bigger. One another. Do you know you have a debt? Have you paid that debt tonight? I'm asking you. Are you going to make a payment? Tonight. Are you going to make a payment? Who have you expressed a payment to of love? Gabriel? You going to show some love tonight? Vahe? We need to go out tonight. Before we leave, you better make a payment. Show some love. Too often we become like people in church. We walk in. We sit. We worship. We pray, we listen, we leave. You left no payment. You gave maybe your contribution, but you didn't give to your debt. Make sure all the opportunities You give love to one another. For he who loves is his fellow man has fulfilled what? The law of the Lord. Misapply a fear-based motive can lead to a backlash of rebellion or discontentment. And that's that whole emphasis on, you know, doing things that are not from the heart. Love is the emphasis of Jesus' command. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. How's your relationship with God? How is it? How are you going to know? Oh, well, I had a great prayer time this morning. Me and God, I walked up the mountain and we talked and we're close. And man, me and God, how are you going to know? If you walk out of here tonight without any expressing any love and any connection, guess what? Your relationship is not as good with God as you thought. Because love has got to flow out. It's a demonstration of our faith. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. How do you know God's here? You love. That's why a lot of people walk into church and say, there's no love in this church. And God's not here. Wow. That can happen to us, you know. But a lot of people walk in and going, hey, I don't feel any love. You know why you're not feeling it? Because you're not giving it. If you want to feel love, you've got to give love. It works both ways. I need love. But I got to give love. Okay, it's very, very important for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. This is talking a lot about unresolved conflict. How are you going to go home tonight and pray to God? And say, God, I love you, and you hate Steve Shirelicki, you got problems with him. Man, the guy rubs me the wrong way. I don't like him. Just say it. You hate him. Guess what? By saying that, and this, let me just say this to husband and wife. You get in that point where you're not in agreement with each other and you got that feeling. Not the good feeling, the bad feeling. Guess what? You're not loving God. Brother or sister. How are you going to say you love God when you got going on? The bad stuff. Okay, it's very important. Love our brothers whom we do see and our brothers who are physically near us. That means in our faith groups. That's the first part of our study. So what's the emphasis in a partnership? Love. Before we talk about the formality and the structure and all that, well, who's my partner? Look in your faith group. Pray about it. Talk about it. We're going to end early tonight so that you can pray first. Break up in your small groups. Pairings, pray about it, and then talk about what you heard tonight. What are you going to apply? What are you going to do? Amen?